for illustrative pictures to put in their newspaper for this worst place to live in. Clevedon Street made the top cover, and that's the street I live on. We're quite hungry, you know. It's like somebody coming to your home, and you know that your home, there is a cobweb here and a cobweb there. But it is your guest that is pointing it out. You know, you sort of get angry. Yes, we have problems in Upper Hay, but you shouldn't be pointing it out. And then the way that it was put, it pointed to the people rather than just the area that they live in. And so we were up in arms and we went to the papers and we wrote articles of good things that were happening in Upper Hay. But the other thing we did was, hey, let's shape up then. So we got community together through residents association groups, started doing cleanup work, you know, picking litter and all, painting some of the boards on the houses, cleaning the back of the houses, which were filled, they were dens for the gangs. They came and did their drugs in there and so on. We cleaned up those, got the council to put alligating so that people could not just get into them. The rats and the pigeons were now getting eliminated because they had nothing to eat because it was all being cleaned up. And right now, if you came onto Clevedon Street, you will not find one boarded up house. You will not find a scratch of graffiti. And we believe two things in terms of ministering to such areas which any inner city here in England or Britain as a whole, you will have such places. By the way, right now we are second last. We are no longer last. We are second last. Somewhere in Liverpool is the last. Anyway, you will find such places. How do you minister into there? Some of the things, borrowing from our background, borrowing from some of the things I told you to put a hook on. The fact that community worked in my village in Bujumbura made it easy for the missionary coming in. And just like you do with a computer, you find the computer is working, the computer is fine, but the program is a little bit corrupted. You change the program, you don't throw away the computer. You change the program, the computer starts to work fine. The missionary came to Bujumbura, and even though there was something wrong in terms of some of what we believed, the community was functioning. He just needed to change what was wrong, and the community continued to function even better. You come to Upper Hay, the community has been thrown asunder because there isn't anything like community there. There isn't family. Family is what I've described, and that's what they know as family. We came to do youth work, but quickly we got sensitive to the fact that family is thrown asunder. The community is not functional. We are sensitive to those things because of our background. And we felt God saying, instead of reaching out to the youth now, switch gears and reach out to the family. Bring reconciliation to warring parties in families. Bring some normalcy in those homes. This particular lady that I described, as strong as she is, as a pillar for her home as she is, she would be drunk every day until sometimes she would be blacked out because of alcohol. She had phobias. She was ill all the time. She could not walk 100 meters away from her home alone. She had to go with somebody. She was lonely. She was desperate. And there are many lonely homes in Upper Hay. I have never seen such a concentration of lonely people and people with mental illness and depression. I believe it is because there is no community. When God created us, He created us to be part of a community. He created us to be family, and He created us to interact. He Himself is God three in one. He exemplifies community. And when Jesus was praying for His disciples and praying for us in that same prayer in John 17, that they may be one as you and I are one, is community. And we see the power of community in supporting each other and life being worth the living because of community. But you come to Upper Hay and there's so many people live alone. Sometimes somebody will die in a home and They will be discovered 3 days later. And so we have sought to rebuild community, and we believe that for us, that is mission. For us, mission in Hapahe is the rebuilding of community. It is hard graft work. Because when you approach one family, the multiple problems in there that they will wish for you to participate in to help them with, crazy. So alcoholism being one of them, you'll find many of the homes that I go in, 90% of them will be full of smoke all the time, with young toddlers that have bronchitis and asthma and so on. And kids are dying in those homes. I even approached the NHS to train me in smoking cessation. Because smoke is killing people. And I wonder why they do not stop to think, you know, what am I doing? My child is dying. Sometimes we've dashed children to hospital because they are dying. And yet they know it is smoke that is causing, yet they will continue to smoke. So you deal with that, you deal with schooling, the kids not going to school. The only secondary school that we had in Hapahe closed down because 50% of the kids were not showing up on a typical day. Now one primary school has closed. I don't know what the case was there. We are left with one primary school in Hapahe. No secondary school. Rebuild a family. But it is hard graft. So we've taken on an alcohol and drugs worker and myself going into the community with smoking cessation and standing with people, taking them to various places, exposing them to all kinds of services. I have been trained in counseling because every time you give them referral of a counselor, they will think, now I'm in trouble, my kids are going to be taken away from me and so on and so forth. A counselor is not a positive term in a place like Hapahe now. So we've had to come up with a model from the church perspective that says we can be a friend to you even as we counsel you. And those are some of the things that we have had to engage in as our ministry. Then as I said earlier, we do street parties to bring the community together. Those are some of our happier times. We do hanging baskets parties so that our street looks better. As I said, we clean up, you know, we pick litter and so on and so forth. We've had a Halloween party. Again, theology knocks heads sometimes when you talk about Halloween, but we did have a Halloween party. And on goes the list, engaging with the people, bringing what we believe church would have offered them onto the street rather than expecting them to come into the building, which they are not going to. They're not going to come in there. And so our ministry, our strapline is church on the streets. We are bringing to them what perhaps we would have gotten in the church ourselves, which is fellowship, which is community. If you ask anybody that goes to church why they keep going to church, one big reason that people go to church is because they find supportive people there. So it's a community in church that they go for. Why don't we build it out there on the streets? I need to stop here so that... do we have time for some questions? How are we doing on time? Okay, we have some time. Yeah, I need to stop here, otherwise I'll keep going and going because this is something that is deep in my heart and I'm excited about it. Just to tell you that they've been, because some of you might be asking, so what about results? There've been some results. Some people have started going with us to church. Not that that is our aim. Our aim is really for them to start to engage with life as it is, to enjoy it as God intended it for it to be, and then at the point in the street, start to realize that they are a creature of God, of an almighty God. And where they seek to worship him is not the issue, but they should seek to worship him. And that is our goal. And we are starting to see some of that happening. But it has taken 7 years. We've lived in Hapahe for 7 years. And I was telling Emma just as we came here that I feel that the work can now begin. The work can now begin. They trust us. They know we are going nowhere. They know we don't intend any ill. So when you knock on the door, they're not, can I help you? You know, that's something an African, I don't know if Africans have interacted with you on this, that's something that just gets us as Africans. You knock on somebody's door and they open a little bit and they say, can I help you? It's like, you know, welcome, come in, you know, cup of tea, whatever. That would be the African style. Invite the person in before you ask them why they've come. But we, you know, we would struggle with that in the beginning. Now, when we knock, and we took advantage of the fact that we're Africans, you know, we don't know. We don't know what is politically correct or not. Just go. Just do it. Do what you feel the Lord is telling you to do. May I come in? Yeah, what for? I'd like to chat with you. May I come in? And you go in. So now they've learned to open for these Africans. And they're free. The last street party that we had, taking care of 170 homes, we had 120 people come. Community is growing. They're helping each other. We've seen people help each other. There's a man that lives alone. He lost his wife 2 years ago. He lives alone. He's getting very frail. We've seen neighbors going and bringing him food. In the past, that did not happen. On New Year's Day, when the fireworks are going, people spill onto the street. It just happens sort of spontaneously. People coming out of their doors. And they come and they raise glasses and they sing and so on. Did this used to happen before? No. Community is starting to happen in Hapahe. We don't know what the future holds, but we believe that there's a brighter future for the evangelist, the missionary, that will come 20 years' time when the community is functional. And he'll come and put in a message as in a computer, and the whole computer will start to work as it should. Let me leave it there and allow some questions.
Thank you very, very much for speaking so eloquently and passionately about the way that God has led you in mission. Please do feel free to ask Cyprian questions now.
Blessing. Just one of the things that you talked about as such a like a kind of a mechanism of healing that God has instilled in us is this idea of community. But I think, would I be right in saying another very powerful tool that he's given us is the power of prayer? Would you say that you found there's a cultural difference in the way that people in the UK will pray with very much, if it be the Lord's will, get our claws, and the way that maybe some of the African approach would be, could you maybe highlight that a little bit?
Yeah, glad you bring it up. Definitely, prayer, we almost take it for granted that with everything that we do, prayer has to be there. Prayer has to be part of it. And yes, I agree with you that part of the problem, we've tried to arrange prayer meetings. I don't know what church you go to and how prayer life of your church is. If you have a meeting that is specifically for prayer, you'll get the least people come to that. We have a prayer meeting every Thursday, like today, Thursday early morning from 7 to 8. And when we started, there was a bit of momentum, you know, people wanted to be there, and we would 10 of us would be there, the Eden Project people and ourselves and so on. Right now it's dwindled to, we were 3 of us consistently meeting, including our pastor who has just left, so we are 2 of us consistently meeting. So prayer is a struggle for many in this culture. Back home, in those churches that we've described that are so big, they will have something they call morning glory. And people on their way to work will wake up a little earlier and go to church and pray for 30 minutes or an hour before they go to work. And yes, there is something missing here that could really be helped if prayer could be embraced as it is. And again, I agree with you on the issue of if it was God's will. I think that it comes down to the issue of authority. And the Britain is proud generally. And when you stand before a Briton, even if you're speaking as if sent by God, they see you for who you are and they evaluate the message without taking it with that authority behind it. In Kenya, when somebody stands up, one, you believe that they've been sent by God. They spent time in prayer, they spent time in preparation. They are sent by God. In fact, they are the very voice of God, just like the prophets did. And so